Catch them 98Q Country. It's a Monday, another nice day. Temperature-wise, might see some rain move in this afternoon, and tomorrow could be a bit wet, but temperatures will be right in that 53-54 range today, tomorrow, and then winter will begin on Wednesday with temperatures probably not getting out of the 30s for high temps for the foreseeable future starting on Wednesday. And precipitation, well, remember last week they were talking about, oh, we're going to get a big snowstorm Tuesday, Wednesday. And I was looking ahead and I'm just like, well, that's maybe some precipitation, but it's really mild and the ground is really warm too. So the first couple inches of snow that hits the ground, I think, is just going to melt right into the abyss. We really don't have a major storm in the forecast for this week. It would be nice to have some snow on the ground for the opener of the traditional 9-day gun deer season on Saturday, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen. Maybe a glazing at best. Championship games are set for high school football this weekend. See if any of your teams are in there. Edgar and Stratford are always there, right? Well, guess what? They're back. They're back again. Edgar will be there in Division 7. That's the smallest of the schools. Edgar's enrollment has dropped. Stratford's enrollment went up. Both of those towns very close to each other. So Edgar and Potosi Cassville on Thursday for the D7 title. Grantsburg from the farm. You could not get any farther away from Madison, could you? Maybe if you went way up, but Grantsburg, way up there in the northwest corner. They're there. They'll take on Lamira in D6. Stratford will go for the championship in D5 against Wrightstown. Baldwin-Woodville, had a chance to see them and their beautiful new field there earlier this year. Did a game for one of our civic stations. So Baldwin-Woodville will take on Racine St. Catharines in Division 4. Division 3, Catholic Memorial will take on Notre Dame. That's Division 3. Division 2 title game has Rice Lake against Slinger, and the D1 game will have Bayport taking on Muskego. And the champion was crowned in 8-man football, so over the weekend. Owen Withy got their first ever state championship in 8-man, 12-0. They beat Lena St. Thomas Aquinas in what is, for 8-man football, a moderately to low-scoring game, 50-36. They like to score points for the most part in 8-man football, although the number on that seems to be coming down as teams and schools figure things out a little bit more. Oh, the Badgers fired their offensive coordinator. That was a firing that was probably, what would you say, about 30 years in the making, maybe? for a team like the Badgers or the like Iowa Hawkeyes, for either one of them to fire their offensive coordinator, it's just like, well, what about the last 30 years where we didn't have... That was a good game, though, on Saturday. Saturday night, was it? Oregon and the Badgers. Badgers had a shot in that game. Oregon, the number one team in the country. And the Badgers almost got them at home, but didn't quite happen. What else here? Did you watch the Mike Tyson-Jake Paul fight on Friday night? I think I saw a number where over 60 million households watched the Tyson-Paul fight. I want to make sure I got that right. Let's see if I can figure that out. Let's see. So a lot of people watch it. I know 65 million concurrent streams. So there were 65 million streams, which means even more people than that were watching it. And it wasn't Jake Paul. It was Mike Tyson. Everybody wanted to see if a guy who is the exact same age, he's about 2 months older than your morning show guy. I kept looking at him out there in the ring, thinking to myself, what if that was me? I'd be dead. I'd just be, if I was in that ring. Now, it looked like I watched the whole fight. I watched the entire card, actually. Now, our family was not a subscriber to Netflix, but I thought for $6.99 for a month, and you can cancel after the month, and then plus they have a lot of good documentaries I kind of wanted to watch over the upcoming holiday, so I thought, why not? The card leading up to that, if you watched the woman's fight before that between Who was it? Taylor and Sedano, was that her name? A gal from Puerto Rico. I'm not sure where she was from. That, my friends, was quite a match. It was 8 rounds, 2 minutes a round, and they went at it. The one young lady from Puerto Rico, she had a slash above her eye. Didn't look like she was going to be able to continue. She did. And then this Taylor did not win the match, but she won. See, this is why people are still leery about boxing, because if you watch that women's match before the Tyson-Paul fight, we know who won the match, but that's not whose hand was raised. But there's still this thing in boxing where if you are the defending champion, you better knock that person out, because if you don't, a lot of times they don't like to give decisions to determine titles. That's just the way boxing rolls. But on to the Tyson and Paul fight. It's being ripped a lot in the media. People are just like, oh, they didn't even throw a punch and blah, blah, blah. You know what? It was exactly what I thought it would be. And I really didn't care. It was more about the spectacle, for me anyway. Mike Tyson, he had some health issues like 6 months back. They had to push this fight back because of that. And he lost like half the blood in his body and all kinds of health issues. And to see Mike Tyson out there, and he was kind of competitive. I mean, the only thing that Mike Tyson couldn't do was step into a punch. And that's what he did back in his heyday. I mean, he would lean into a punch. And if you were in the way of it, you're probably not going to be in very good shape when it all is said and done. But Mike Tyson just was not able to step into a punch. His quickness was still there with his hands. And he could still block the punches coming at him from Jake Paul, who was 30 years younger than him. So I think a hat's off to Mike Tyson. He got $20 million just for showing up. And Jake Paul got $40 million. You think Netflix did all right? 65 million concurrent streams. And most of us at some point had the match interrupted in the first couple rounds by the fact that there were 65 million concurrent streams. It was not a great night for Netflix in that sense, in that something got bogged down at somewhere. I don't know if they weren't expecting that many streams, but a lot of people were disappointed. I was kind of like, well, that was kind of cool to see Mike Tyson back in the ring. Good for him. And he's doing all right financially. He's got his name behind a CBD or marijuana company or something somewhere. So he's making a few bucks. Well, the cigars are being lit today, and the mimosa or tequila or whatever it is that they drink is being consumed by the Dolphins. The remaining players still left from the 72 Dolphins that went undefeated. Every time the last undefeated team goes down, they always have a little cigar if they can, or a little beverage to celebrate the fact that no one is going to equal what the 72 Dolphins did, and that is go undefeated on the season, because the Chiefs got beat by the Bills. Their magic ran out a little bit yesterday, but the Chiefs will still be all right. So the Bills take them down, so no undefeated teams left now in football. Well, the Packer game was very good. I'm going to get gray in here in the 8 o'clock hour, because I was watching the Packer game and the Viking game, and I'm still just very confused by the Packer team. I have a theory of the philosophy of the team, but I don't want to reveal that in front of an avid Packer fan, of why the Packers are still able to win when it doesn't seem like they're winning. You walk away from the game as a Packer fan, and you're like, well, we won. And you're 7-3, and you're in a real good spot to be a playoff team. Probably not going to win that division. The Lions are just too good right now. Even the Vikings are a game back, but the Lions are, unless something happens health-wise to the Lions, which it can, snap of a finger, can happen just like that. You can lose a quarterback, you can lose whatever. The Lions are the real deal. They just steamrolled at home yesterday. So we'll talk about, once Gray rolls in here, we'll talk a little Packer Viking, more Packers coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. What else? Oh, I had something over the weekend that really was weighing heavy on my mind concerning breakfast. And I'm going to talk about that in just a little bit here at 7:34. If you want to get out and go for a walk, you might want to do it this morning. I'm not saying it's going to not be nice this afternoon, but we do have rain showers developing this afternoon. And the wind will be southeast at 5 to 10. So it's going to rain at some point today. It looks like the morning hours before noon should be mainly dry. It's really nice out there right now. We're at, what are we at now? 40 or 26. 26, but it feels like 26. That's what they say on my computer. Let's get you updated. Twice an hour, we get you news and sports. So let's get you updated right now.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Spirit Airlines is trying to reassure its customers and employees that it's business as usual at the low-cost carrier, reservations and flights not affected as the company files for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. President Biden authorizing Ukraine to use long-range U.S. missiles to strike inside Russia, something the White House had prohibited until now. White House Principal Deputy National Security Advisor Jonathan Finer.
This has been consistent with our approach to the entire conflict. If there are circumstances that evolve and change, we will evolve and change to meet them and to allow the Ukrainians to continue to defend their territory and their sovereignty.
President Biden attending the G20 summit in Brazil, his last as U.S. president. President-elect Donald Trump nominating Brandon Carr as the next FCC commissioner. He is a Republican who has been skeptical of big tech, accusing it of censoring some viewpoints. E. coli outbreak linked to whole and baby carrots sold at places like Whole Foods, Trader Joe's, and Wegmans. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Austin Bermain, who's at Northern Wisconsin, needs to know. Civic Media News. I'm Austin Bermain, who's at Northern Wisconsin, needs to know. Saturday at 10:30 a.m. over at the Boulder Junction Public Library, it's Dinosaur Dimensions. They invite you to journey back in time with Kurt Strutz and his thrilling presentation, Dinosaur Dimensions. This captivating show will transport you to the age of the dinosaurs, offering a fascinating glimpse into the lives of these magnificent creatures. Dinosaur Dimensions is an amazing experience where kids get to meet realistic, animatronic puppet dinosaurs. From a cute baby triceratops to a life-size raptor, or even a pteranodon and T-Rex, it's a dino experience for all ages. The 45-minute show will allow everyone to see the dinosaur puppets up close and personal. No registration is required for this free event, and all ages are welcome to attend. Children 7 and under must be accompanied by a parent or guardian. For further information, please call the Boulder Junction Public Library at 715-385-2050. Once again, that's Saturday at 10:30 a.m. at 5386 Park Street in Boulder Junction for Dinosaur Dimensions. The Menominee Tribe in Wisconsin has seen a decrease in overdose incidents. Lisa Hale reports.
There's good news out of the Menominee Tribe, who in 2022 declared a state of emergency due to the impacts of drug use and addiction. So far this year, the tribe has seen a nearly 70% decrease in overdose incidents. Ben Warrington, the co-chair of the Menominee Indian Tribe Drug Addiction Intervention Team, said the decrease is a result of providing education and resources to those struggling with addiction and substance abuse. While the decrease is good news, there's more to do. Many clinics and treatment centers have seen an increase in the number of patients seeking assistance for mental health and/or addiction issues. Officials say wanting to change is a very positive development, but some hurdles, such as access to care and treatments, program funding, adequate provider staffing, law limitations, and limited resources within jails and prisons, still remain.
The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reported a 3% decrease in overdose deaths in the U.S. from 2022 to 2023. For more news, visit 98qcountry.com and civicmedia.us. I'm Austin Brume.
The Packers beat the Bears. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Yeah, the Packers beat the Bears for the 11th time in a row, setting a new franchise record. Green Bay's Carl Brooks blocking the Bears' attempt to kick a winning field goal. Final score, Packers 20, Bears 19. Matt LaFleur.
Just like you draw it up, right? First of all, got to give Chicago a ton of credit. We knew this is, I mean, this is a National Football League. You got to come with your best every week.
College football, the Badgers fired Phil Longo, their offensive coordinator, after losing to Oregon, 16-13. Luke Fickell.
Those guys in that locker room, obviously, they fought their butts off. They did everything we asked them to do. They played the way we wanted them to play and we expected them to play. We just right now haven't found a way to be able to finish.
NBA, the Bucks host the Rockets tonight. Doc Rivers fined $25,000 for criticizing the rest after losing to the Hornets Saturday night.
Go back three plays when Giannis dunks. The whole team fouled him. The whole team fouled him. And it's a no call.
That's the Bucks' Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This Thanksgiving, gather at Northwood Supper Club in Fifield, where tradition meets taste. Join Terry for homemade delights from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Thanksgiving Day. Enjoy a savory selection of honey and brown sugar glazed ham, tender beef tips, pork roast over wild rice with cranberries and pecans, traditional turkey with all the trimmings, mashed potatoes, green beans in a cream sauce, and more. Just $24 per adult, $12 for kids 6 to 12, and $6 for kids under 5. Make it a Thanksgiving filled with warmth and flavor at Northwood Supper Club.
The holidays are here at the Home Depot. If you're working on getting ready for company,
a lot of company,
make sure you're ready with Black Friday savings. Get up to 40% off select appliances, plus up to an extra $1,000 off select kitchen appliances. Upgrade your kitchen with top brands like GE Profile and get sleek cutting-edge appliances to make sure you've
got hosting handled.
Yeah, you do. Get Black Friday savings now with free delivery and financing on select appliances this holiday at the Home Depot. Offer valid November 6th through December 4th. U.S. only. See store online for details.
We visited Alexandria, Minnesota a few summers ago. Great time. Lakes, fishing, all that. But this year, for the holidays, we wanted a winter vacation that was just as memorable, just as family-friendly, but with lights and snow, and this time, with our grandkids in tow. This holiday, it's Alexandria again. We're coming back to make new memories.
Explore your holiday getaway options at explorealex.com.
It's the sound of a soda, considered one of the coolest things made in Wisconsin. Jolly Good has been around since the 1960s. Cryer Foods makes it in Random Lake, which is in Sheboygan County. But Cryer started as a canning company in 1913. What was being canned there? Sauerkraut? Peas? Beets? The answer coming up.
At Jolly Good, we believe in quality.
Soda turned into an important revenue stream when production at the canning company slowed in the colder months. So what was being canned there? Sauerkraut? Peas? Beets? All three, plus juice, soups, and more. By the 1960s, Cryer quit canning and went all in on Jolly Good soda.
For flavor and value, Jolly Good's got it.
The latest resurgence of Jolly Good makes it a slice of Wisconsin for yesterday and today. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters.
Sunshine this morning, becoming mostly cloudy by later this afternoon. Our high today, 52. Rain and wind tonight, and there could be some heavy rain, a half inch or more today through tomorrow. Our low tonight, 40. Tomorrow, windy with rain and a high of 54. Rain will change to snow tomorrow night into Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 26.
98Q Country.
You know there's a light that glows by the front door. Don't forget the keys under the mat. When childhood stars shine, always stay humble and kind. Go to church cause your mama says to. Visit grandpa every chance that you can. It won't be wasted time, always stay humble and kind. Thank you. Don't steal, don't cheat, and don't lie. I know you got mountains to climb, but always stay humble and kind. When the dream's your dream.
free ride from no one. Don't hold a grudge or a chip, and here's why. Bitterness keeps you from flying. Always stay humble and kind. Know the difference between sleeping with someone and sleeping with someone you love. I love you ain't no pickup line, so always stay humble and kind. Hold the door, say please, say thank you. Don't steal, don't cheat, no lie. I know you got mountains to climb, but always stay humble and kind. When those dreams you're dreaming come to you, when the work you put in is realized, let yourself feel the pride, but always stay humble and kind. It's hot, eat a root beer popsicle. Shut off the AC and roll the windows down. Let that summer sun shine. Always stay humble and kind. Don't take for granted the love this life gives you. When you get where you're going, don't forget, turn back around. Help the next one in line. Always stay humble and kind.
All right, Tim McGraw there. I guess not too difficult if you're a Bear fan. So it's thank you very much. 11 in a row, and that hurt yesterday. Because the Bears, that was about an even a draw as a game as you can get, right? It's about as even as a draw. I think one thing is very clear. Caleb Williams is going to be really good. The question is, I mean, he relies on his legs a lot. He relies on his legs, and usually quarterbacks who run, after 3-4 years in the league, they don't run anymore. They just, you got to throw at some point because the linebackers are like 290 pounds and the linemen are like really, really big. So they land on you, and then you're like, well, I'm not going to run anymore. But Caleb Williams, I think it looks like he's got a good arm, and he'll be fine. He'll be fine. And the Bears, it should be, I mean, it all depends on who's around you. You see it in football, in history of the football game a lot, and that quarterbacks will have great careers. And the one year that they win the Super Bowl or they get close to the Super Bowl is the year that they don't do it. They don't. Peyton Manning had a great career. Don't get me wrong. He had a great career. And when he led the Colts to the Super Bowl, it was wonderful. But then when he went to, where did he go to? Was it Denver or wherever the second team he went to? He had a year where he had 7 touchdowns and 19 interceptions, and they won the Super Bowl. So it's not so much, you got to have something around you. You can't just win it all by yourself. But Caleb Williams, he'll get a couple of those years. Well, he'll have the team around him. He'll be just fine. The dilemma I have this morning, we'll talk more Packers. I think Gray will be in, and I want to pick his brain a little bit about Packer football. The dilemma I had this morning is because I'm kind of tired, and I told my wife this in so many terms over the weekend. I said I'm tired of cookies being shamed as a breakfast cereal. I'm tired of it because, okay, let's be honest. If you have a cup of coffee in the morning and you have a big Danish or a donut with it, everybody's like, oh, look at you, nice coffee and donut, and oh, look at nice, very nice. But if you have that same cup of coffee and next to it is a big chocolate chip cookie. People are like, you're having a cookie for breakfast? What do you? That's exactly what my wife says to me. When we don't have something in the morning, it might be 9, 10, like yesterday morning, it was like 9, 10 o'clock. I had a cup of coffee. Wasn't really much in the way of pastries, so I had a couple of cookies. And she's like, really? She literally like gave the eye to the wristwatch kind of thing. Really? You know, really? What time is it? I'm like, and I just looked it up. Cookies are better for you than donuts. So it's time, folks. It's time for us to stop shaming cookies as a breakfast cereal. There's actually, what is that breakfast cereal in the box? Cookie Crisp? Is that what it's called? Oh, I mean, that's health food is what that is. That's just... They're finding all kinds of bad stuff in the carrots and the onions. You can't even eat that stuff anymore. I know there's a carrot recall announced over the weekend at Trader Joe's and Walmart. They've been recalled. When's the last time a dozen chocolate chip cookies were ever recalled? There's enough preservatives in those for those to last through a major atomic event. So cookies, unite cookie people. Unite cookie for breakfast. That's right. Put down those donuts. The problem with the donuts, of course, you know what it is. And I read a little story about it. They're fine until you deep fry them, but you got to deep fry a donut because then it's just a lump of dough. Don't get me wrong. If I wake up in the morning and I'm having a cup of coffee, if there's a good cake donut there, that's my number one choice because I'm all about junk food. That's right. All about the junk food.
On the grid. I'll be loving you.
Justin Moore at 98Q Country till my last day. It's 8:26. We're going to do some birthdays in a moment. If you got somebody, give us a call. We'd be happy to wish them a happy birthday or anniversary. 715-762-3221. So we'll get to our birthdays, anniversaries in just a little bit here. The debate continues this morning. The debate continues. Cookies or donuts for breakfast? The debate rolls on in my mind anyway. And Greg Gunderson is in here to confirm my belief, right, Gray? Right,
yes. Gray? Yeah, well, I mean, so I was riding in, listening to you, your dulcet tones here on the beautiful 98Q Country, and I was sitting next to a bag of cookies that I was bringing in, and I thought, how appropriate.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's how I greeted you this morning. Good morning, Joel. I have cereal.
I have breakfast. That's right. Why is it that cookies, when you say a cookie for breakfast, people are like, what are you doing? What are you having a cookie for breakfast for?
You know who the real insidious player on the game, on the stage of breakfast is, Joel? There is one that you have not mentioned this morning that is arguably worse than any that you have mentioned. Cookies, donuts, they pale in comparison to the horror.
Of breakfast?
Of the bagel.
Of the bagel.
The bagel. You want to look at a high-calorie breakfast option? The bagel is that sneaky, I'm good for you. No, you're not. No, you're not. You are fried, too, and we know it.
Yeah, the fried part is it will get you with donuts. They're wonderful, don't get me wrong. But why is it that that we pick the least nutritious of all the foods to launch us into the day? I don't know. Why is that?
Well, and actually, I'm realizing now, bagels, a lot of them aren't fried, but they are still incredibly fatty, and they end up super high calorie. So I pull back. I know a lot of bagels aren't fried, but some of them are, and they're all awful for you. I don't know. That's something that I'm noticing, the hard and fast rule. Here's your 30-year-old perspective on life here. A little bit of philosophy for you in the morning.
But a good homemade, I'll admit, the cookies that I had this morning, this weekend, they weren't homemade. They were the cheap little processed bag. You know, they weren't the good ones. But a good homemade cookie, I will argue, is maybe second to a banana, nutrition-wise, to kick off your day, breakfast-wise.
I think a banana is as far as grab-and-go goes, it doesn't get better than a banana. Fruit is pretty sugary. It's sneakily pretty sugary in good ways, but also it's pretty easy to over-sugar yourself. Like if you have fruit, like an apple and a glass of orange juice, that's a lot of fructose you've got going on really fast. But grab that banana, and there's some fiber hiding in there, and it's not quite as bad sugar-wise. It's a great option.
Yeah, let's stop shaming the cookie. Let's bring the cookie not back to breakfast. Let's bring the cookie into the breakfast fold, I say. If it's a cranberry cookie, if it's a walnut raisin cookie, I mean, there you go. I mean, now you're talking health food here.
I know. Well, when I start my cookie recipes, like all of them, they start with the same three ingredients in slight variations of level: butter, sugar, brown sugar. Mm-hmm. So I'm holding that in the back of my mind, but I'm still going to agree with you because I want it to be true.
Lard. I remember the old days making cookies when I was in 4-H, taking them to the county fair many, many years ago. You had the can of Crisco lard. You just had the can of lard. I haven't had lard in my house for God knows how long. And I know some of the old-time bakers still have the lard. I'm not talking about the liquid shortening. I'm talking about the white lard that you reach in, and whatever scoop you use to scoop that out with, that thing will be oiled with lard for the next 3 months. It won't come off there no matter how much hot water you run over it. Lard is, whenever you talk to someone who's a true baker, an old school baker, you ask them what the key to good cookies is, I pretty much say they'll probably say, yeah, get some lard in there.
Oh, Toby.
Toby's here. Toby likes lard, too. We're talking food. Here comes Big G. Did I hear cookies? Ladies and gentlemen, the aroma of just the scent of the discussion of cookies has brought in.
Real butter is where it's at. If you're using a recipe, real butter is the key.
Real butter, maybe not lard, yeah.
I'm not even a baker, so.
You do, because if you have like an old traditional chocolate chip cookie recipe, and it calls for butter, and you put margarine in there, you might as well just throw it all in the garbage. You got to have the real butter. It ain't gonna work.
Right, exactly.
Nice color shirt, by the way. I like that. Appreciate that, Big G.
Yep.
All right. What else is going on today, Big G?
You name it.
Excited for Thanksgiving?
Oh, yeah.
Are you in training?
Huh?
Are you in training for Thanksgiving?
No, I train all year round, so it doesn't make any difference.
Exactly. It was a huge revelation last week when we revealed that Big G's number one food for Thanksgiving. What are rutabagas? Did I hear that?
Rutabagas.
Yeah. Rutabagas. Are you frying them? Are you heating them raw? What are you doing with them?
Well, you fry them in the pan there, and you put lots of butter on them. Excellent.
Yeah.
That's like Vegas pie and ice cream.
Do that with zucchini,
apple pie,
too.
Ice cream, apple pie, and banana pie, you know, both.
Banana pie.
Yeah. Banana cream pie.
For Thanksgiving.
We were talking about how healthy bananas were. I think we just turned it into banana pie for breakfast. I think we can circle back here, Joel. I think we've got something here.
That's right. And, you know, speaking of cookies, the cookie tray is always a big tradition of Christmas, too, you know.
Oh, definitely.
The candy, I mean, I have a sister-in-law who just goes nuts every year making, she's like 15 different varieties of cookies. And that's always, I don't know. It's always a scan. You do the visual scan. I wish I had some kind of an AI scan I could do of all the cookies and just tell me what's in them, because it's always the mystery cookies. You know, if it's small, you're all right. But if it's a big cookie and you take a bite of it and it's not what you thought, then you're like, oh, how do I get rid of this thing?
Well, then you got the dog under the table. You just give her a little treat.
Well, you've got a balance there too, Joel, because you're hoping, like, what do you do if AI can't identify the cookie? And whose fault is it if it can't happen? Is it the AI's fault, or was the cookie not made to the traditional standard that would have been identifiable by an internet AI? I think you have a question of blame immediately. Just the moment you whip out that phone and aim it at a tray of cookies, you start introducing tension into that gathering.
I think sometimes we.
I think you guys think about stuff too much. Just take two. Go on with it.
I think sometimes we try to overachieve on the Christmas cookies. Just a good old fashioned icebox cookie, you know, with a little frosting on it. You don't have to get too crazy with these things, right?
Yeah, I like. I like the peanut clusters, chocolate peanut clusters.
Oh, yeah,
they're excellent. And
peanut health food.
There's probably these Ritz cracker cookies are real easy to make. Have you ever had these?
Yeah, that are covered in chocolate.
Yeah,
yeah.
You get a block of fudge and you melt them. Put peanut butter in between them.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
those are good. Those are wonderful. I always make the traditional icebox cookies. Have always been my favorite because I made those as a kid, where you make up the dough and you roll them into little baseball bat size rolls, and you put them in the fridge for a day or so, and then you just slice them and cook them. So I'll have some of them in here this year for you, but kind of a tradition with my family. So.
Yeah, never made cookies in that style before.
Yeah, what's your go-to Christmas cookie, Gray?
See, I've been spoiled. We got Christmas cookies from all directions. Family, friends, and family both have kind of inundated us. But I know I've got the favorite. I don't know their name. I know there is a common name, and I'm certain I should know it. But I know my whole family will know. They're like a kind of a ginger snap sort of cookie, half frosted.
Okay.
It's that half-frosted, dark brown, spice-flavored cookie. Then you can get them in any variety, depending on who makes it and how long ago it was, because they will keep through all of time, and people do not throw them away. So there is a not 0% chance that when you bite into one, your tooth is going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
But you keep going. You power through because they are that tasty.
Yeah.
That's the distinct thing, is that they're half-frosted with a white... very light frosting, not too overly sweet.
Big G, what's your family's go-to cookie?
Oh, man. You know, my wife, she goes down probably a week or two ahead of time, and now my mother with her mom, and they bake up just a ton of cookies, so I have several.
Yeah.
You know, I like the these chocolate star cookies. They're kind of a sugar cookie with a chocolate star on them.
Oh, yeah.
I do like the traditional sugar cookie with the frosting on it and little sprinkles on it.
Mm-hmm.
Man, the list goes on and on. I like the chocolate pretzels. You put a little
the chocolate pretzels. My dad used to make bags and bags of the chocolate pretzels. Yeah,
that's
The Hershey's, the one with the Hershey's kiss in the middle.
Yeah,
you know?
Yep.
I don't know what that's called, but the Hershey's kiss plopped in the middle.
Oh, peanut butter blossom.
Yeah, kind of a molasses-y type.
Yeah, we have those too. Yeah.
Oh, those are
killer.
Those are wonderful. Yeah,
I think we actually put little tiny peanut butter cups in those.
Yeah.
And the cup ones, the cup cookies. We have the cup cookies and the regular star cookies. I mean, so it's
pretty easy to vary on those a little bit. You can swap it with a peanut butter cup.
Yep.
You can do a lot of simple things. Another underrated one, the circular pretzel with a Rolo in the middle. Put a pecan on top. You can microwave it until the Rolo melts just a little bit and the pecan sinks in.
Uh-huh.
And you just get a little salty, sweet pretzel, chocolate, caramel, and some nuts in there, too. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I think they call it a microwave turtle.
Could have a better description, but that's all right. It's all right.
Hey, I don't name the cookies. I just consume them, enjoy them, and report my findings.
I challenge our listeners, throw away the donuts for breakfast this holiday season. Make it all about the cookies.
There you go.
Right? All right. Thank you, gentlemen. We're going to get to our birthdays after the news.
Still, I'd weigh in on that.
And some Packer analysis, too, coming up yet this morning. We're full of Tomas, and we are ready to roll, baby.
Three. For more news, visit
Equal Housing Lender. Hope you have a terrific day here on this 18th day of November. If you are celebrating, we've got Brothers Osborne band member TJ, who is celebrating a 40th birthday today. Who else here? Nate Parker, the actor who stars in, wrote, produced, and directed The Birth of a Nation back in 2016. 45 today. David Ortiz, Big Poppy, the Boston Red Sox slugger, is 49 today. Still got a sore spot in my baseball heart. The Twins traded him away. He wasn't a very good hitter when the Twins had him, and then he went on to be a Hall of Famer. That hurts. Chloe Savini, the actress, Zodiac, American Psycho, Boys Don't Cry, is 50 today. Peta Wilson, the actress from TV's League of Extraordinary Gentlemen and others, is 54 today. We got Megyn Kelly. She became famous as a Fox News anchor after working as a lawyer. And she famously tangled with Donald Trump, of course, during the 2016 election. She's 54 today. Owen Wilson, the brother of Luke Wilson, is also an actor, of course, 56 for Owen Wilson today. Gary Sheffield, baseball. Is he a Hall of Famer? He's a pretty good player. 56 today. Elizabeth Perkins, the actress from TV's Weeds, Must Love Dogs, The Flintstones, 64 today. Warren Moon spent many years in the CFL, Canadian Football League, before coming to the NFL with the Houston Oilers and played a year or two with the Minnesota Vikings. Warren Moon is 66 today. Kevin Nealon, the actor, TV's Weeds, a wedding singer, got his start on Saturday Night Live. I'm Hans, and I am Franz. Kevin Nealon, 671 today. Delroy Lindo, the actor, from Heist, Romeo Must Die, The Cider House Rules, 72 today. Jameson Parker, the actor from Simon and Simon, the old show, 77. And Linda Evans, TV actress from Dynasty and others, is still going. Linda Evans is 82 years young today.
Did you know?
I'm meteorologist Sean.
98Q. Dirk Spentley there at 98Q Country. Well, we promised you a breakdown and an evaluation of the NFL from the weekend, and if that's possible, we'll attempt to do that. The Packers, of course, winning with a swat of a hand, with a swat of a, with a touch of a finger to the football, and a block of a field goal. They come away with a win. The NFC North Division, I was gonna look this up, but then I thought to myself, why even bother? Because I know that we've never been this deep into the season, and we've had three teams, the Vikings, Packers, and Lions, with a combined record of 24-6 going into week number 11. That's crazy. I think the NFC North is pretty good, Gray. What do you think?
Most competitive I've ever seen it by far. I mean, there were years where the Vikings threatened back in 2012 with Adrian Peterson in his prime, but this is three whole teams. Nobody has a superstar that's dragging them through by the collar. Everybody is competing well enough in three phases to be this good.
Three good defensive teams. I think the Packers, Vikings, and Lions are all pretty good on the defensive side. You look at the Packers yesterday, a time of possession, 36.5 about to 23.5. The Bears won almost every single aspect of this game with the exception of blocking field goals. 13 of 17 for Jordan Love. He had over 200, averaged about 15 yards per reception, 13 only 13 completions, 13 of 17.
Well, the really big stat that stood out to me yesterday, I heard Rock bring it up at one point just after the game. Yards per play, 8.5 yards per play the Packers averaged yesterday.
Yeah.
You're averaging 8.5 yards per play. It's tough to lose if you're maintaining that much offensive momentum. And I think a lot of that, well, I mean, look at Christian Watson, 4 receptions, 150 yards. It's pretty easy to have a pile of yards per play when he alone is averaging what? That's over 30 yards per play for Christian Watson himself.
So how do you, I mean, it's baffling because the Packers scored 4 times, 2 touchdowns, 2 field goals. You average that many yards per play. How did they get stopped? I mean, it makes no sense to think that they didn't score 40 points, right?
That's what the Packers have been. It's like, imagine a long jumper who sprints headlong right up to the edge of the pit and then hits the brakes as hard as possible. That's what the Packers have been when their offense has been executing. It's been a lot of yardage and then choke in the red zone. Choke, 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 choke. They've been absolute choke artists in the red zone. And actually, if you watch the interception that Jordan Love had yesterday on the overthrow right over Tucker Kraft's head, you'll see part of why that is, I think. I think Jordan Love might get the yips in the red zone when it's touchdown or get off the field. I think that makes him nervous. Watch that interception. He overthrows Kraft by a significant amount.
He overthrew him by enough where Kraft went up to get it. And then he pulled his arms back down because he was thinking, well, that can't be for me.
Right.
But it was for him.
And
right?
Before that throw was even made, the Bears defender, and forgive me, I didn't watch long enough to see who actually made that pick, but whoever it was knew where they needed to stand for that pick before the throw even left Love's hand. He's got tendencies, I think, in the red zone, and one of them is it amounts to choking. I think. And I think some of them are predictable, and I think they'd almost bit us really, really hard yesterday.
Well, here's the thing with Jordan Love is he's a very smart quarterback. I think he's more athletic than he's showing now because he's still hobbling with some injuries.
Yep.
But he's not an accurate thrower. And I don't think he's that consistent timing pattern out or over the middle, tight, threading the needle. But he sees the open receivers, he's patient. He'll hit that deep bomb. He'll know when he's got an athletic receiver one-on-one deep, and he'll throw the ball straight up in the air and let him go get it. I think he's smart. He's athletic. But I don't think that precise, accurate throwing, I don't think that's him right now.
Well, and actually, those two words, anybody who spent a year or two under Mrs. Lauver, shout out to you. She'll teach you the definition of accurate versus the definition of precise. And I think Love is an accurate thrower, but not a precise thrower. That means he's going to get it in the right general area, but if he threw at the same target 20 times, there's going to be a spread to it. He's accurate. He's going to get near right, that target, right. But he's not going to hit the same spot every single throw. And that means, I think, that some of them come off looking like absolute gems, like, holy cow, only one person in a generation could make that throw. Then every once in a while, it's just there's a what the heck was that kind of throw.
Well, I think, and that's the difference between the good and the bad teams. The young quarterbacks, a lot of times they can move it between the 20s, but when you get inside the red zone, now the D-backs don't have to worry about you running by them anymore. Now that thing's going to be tighter. You know the receiver generally isn't going to – that back line catch in the end zone is a really tough throw and a really tough catch, and most D-backs will make you make that play. So when you get inside the red zone, the difference between a completion and incompletion a lot of times is 2 or 3 inches, you know, outside – a little bit inside or whatever it may be. And that's why the young quarterbacks, a lot of them, you see them, they put up the big stats, but they got 19 points on the board because they just can't score in the red zone.
I think some of it's receiver trust, too. If you look at who we've got, you've got Dontavian Wicks. He's been dropping more passes than he's been catching, so he's not a really great red zone target. Okay, so who's at the top of the list? You're looking at Jaden Reed. Cool. That's a pretty safe option if he can get the separation he needs to get. But you need more than one target. So who's up next? Romeo Doubs has some sticky hands, but lacks the jumping and the sheer athletic ability to get that extra yard you need in the end zone a lot of the time. When he gets it, Love is connected with him well. I'm thinking of the second half of last season. Romeo Doubs looked more like Randy Moss every once in a while on a corner fade. But that hasn't been happening so far this year, and there's really not a receiving option who can reliably get that yard and catch the ball or sit in that smart spot the way that Tucker Kraft was trying to in front of the end zone yesterday. There's something, I don't know. I bet LaFleur could complain for hours about exactly what the issue is. I don't know enough to know, but I know enough to see it, the points not hit the board.
With all that said, and the time of possession and the rushing yards leaning towards Chicago, two stats that always usually tell the truth, and that is penalties. The Packers had 3 penalties for 25 yards. The Bears had 7 penalties for 50 yards. You combine all that with one little, what did he hit? Like maybe the top inch and a half on his finger on that block punt.
Yeah, last segment of Carl Brooks's middle finger.
So that's the difference between the Bears saying we're back and the difference between the Bears saying we need to fire the coach. That the length of your middle finger, like the top inch of it, that was the difference between the Bears wanting to fire their coach or saying, we're back, baby, and we're a playoff team. That's it right there. That's it. That's football.
4-2 to 4-6.
That's it. That's it. All that 60 minutes of guys' limbs falling off, of guys being paraded into the tent, taking commercial breaks because we don't want to see the gruesomeness of that injury. And then it came down to one little flick of the middle finger on top of the ball. I'm not sure that ball would have went through the uprights anyway. It didn't look like a good kick anyway.
I don't know.
It looked like a low kick to me.
Santos is pretty reliable. And that was something that they mentioned was they saw his first quarter field goal kick that he made was quite low. And that was why a lot of them believed if they got a good jump, they could block that one. And they were completely correct. But there's just so many variables. The thing that scares me is that people, because of that block, are going to forget the two plays or three plays that came immediately before it. One was a nothing burger run where they just tried to get some extra yards, but two pass plays to get downfield into field goal position,
right?
Those were giveaways 20 yards plus a piece, and that terrifies me. That's still going to be possible in coming games, and that needs to be figured out ASAP. It reminds me of when the Seattle Seahawks didn't hand it to Marshawn Lynch and they passed and the Patriots intercepted it. Everybody forgets that the play before that was one of the craziest circus catches of all time. Because it doesn't matter. The team that made that crazy circus catch lost the game on the next play. We can't forget that we almost lost that game. Like, really, really almost. In about two plays, they ate up 50 yards. Just bam.
When you give up 400 yards, almost 400 yards in total offense to the Bears, even though you're 7-3, you still don't sleep well at night.
Yeah,
you
like a fifth of that came on the, on their two-minute drill to end the game. Yeah, scary times.
And look at third down conversion. The Packers very rarely got to third down. They were 1 for 5. The Bears were 9 of 16 on third down and 3 for 3 on fourth down. So the Packers also missed a fourth down. So 1 for 6 basically on plays that were possession related. If you get it, you keep it. If you don't, you punt it. So
if you look, it's the Josh Jacobs grind and then a couple of Christian Watson holy cows. That's what really made the day possible, making them respect both, spreading things out far enough for Love to work the field here and there, and holy cow, a two-point conversion would have made me a lot more comfortable at the end of the day.
49ers coming in this Sunday, 3:30 kick. I think the 49ers lost, so they're mad. I think they're 5-5, desperate team coming in. So this is going to be a tough one.
They terrify me. There's a lot of talent there. They should be winning more, and they're going to figure out how in Green Bay.
they're like the Vikings were, what was that, last year when the 49ers continue to lose close games right at the end. They could easily be 8-2. Or 7-3, right where the Packers are, very easily. But they just can't get the break, and they can't finish at the end. I think their record is, what are they at, 5-5, yeah. And they're only a game back in that division, so they're still there.
Wild card level teams terrify me. Look no further than our own last Super Bowl in Green Bay to see what a wild card team or a wild card like record team. The Packers were 10-6 that year in the regular season. Snuck in on the wild card, won the Super Bowl. Like, you cannot discount a team that's at 500 at this point in this season. Not at all.
Yeah. I guess you have to change the mentality. The Vikings went on the road the last 2 weeks at Jacksonville and at Tennessee, two teams that are struggling, and they got wins. They were ugly. They weren't big time wins, but I think you have to change your mindset nowadays in the NFL. Anytime you win a game on the road in the NFL, period, it's a good win. I don't care if it's Kansas City at Jacksonville, because that'll be a close game. That'll be a close game. The blowouts are few and far between. It happens once in a while, happening more with Detroit than anybody else. But anytime you go on the road in the NFL and you get a win, that's a quality win in my book. I don't care who it is.
Yeah, bonus points if there's no injuries or if something else happens to benefit you outside of just the points on the scoreboard. But yeah, road wins are made of gold these days.
Yeah, and I'll say the Vikings playing at Tennessee. Tennessee should be embarrassed. The half the stadium was filled with Viking fans, and the Tennessee was on defense toward the end of the game, needed a big stop. There was no crowd noise at all. There was no crowd noise at all. The Tennessee fans were, I know they're 2-7, but still, it's like the crowd wasn't even in. You could hear a faint skull chant in the back of that stadium the entire game I was never more proud in my life. All right, thank you, Green.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
I'm sure you'll have more Packers this afternoon, won't you?
Probably more than you want.
From 2 to 7, Greg Gunderson right here on 98Q Country.
Looking for a dealership that's truly here for you?
Starting Wednesday, winter begins. We got temperatures consistently in the low 30s or colder for high temps starting on Wednesday. Today, tomorrow, though, 50s. It's going to probably get cloudy and rain at some point later today and again scattered tomorrow. So get out and enjoy some nice weather here. Boy, yesterday was beautiful. Took the pug out for a walk yesterday, and he was in his glory. 50-degree temperature walks for a dog are always a wonderful thing. Deer Hunters Roundup is back on this weekend. And once again, the lineup of sponsors and fabulous and glamorous prizes is a bit overwhelming. Our crack staff is behind the scenes. They're behind locked doors. I think every door except one at the radio station right now is locked, and there's someone behind it working on the Deer Hunters Roundup. Village Pit Stop is one of our sponsors, along with Barocca Wreaths and Jen's Butternut Cafe, Ron Ernst Lumber, Seed and Feed in Fifield, Forward Bank, Medford Motors, Tom Miller Electric, Northwoods Supper Club, Wildwoods Taxidermy, Freeze Firewood, Flambeau Forest Inn, Northern Lights Inn in the Lanes. We got Many others. I shouldn't have started the list because I'll probably leave somebody out that's still kind of being compiled. Chuck's little station down in Prentice. You've got Bigfoot Barbecue Sauce. You're going to be giving away some of that good stuff during the roundup. Lena's Northern Pines and Resort. Title sponsor. Huge prizes coming there. We've got Warga Auto and Truck Center, Northwoods Realty. And Bader's Sports Center also. This is not typed. This is handwritten. So trying to make a way through all of it. And we'll have a complete listing. Our website is almost complete at 98qcountry.com. Almost complete. Not quite. We're going to have a place on there for photos and all that stuff. So we're putting the final touches on that part of our website here in the final in the next couple of days here. We will get to our forecast, which is fabulous. The wounds are deep for Bear fans today. 11 consecutive losses to the Green Bay Packers, and that was a tough one last night. That was a playoff denting loss for the Bears, putting them at 4-6 now. 5-5. You still had a chance. But it's a lopsided division. It's a lopsided conference this year, and it's going to take a chunk of wins to probably get in the playoffs this year. I'm talking about, you know, maybe 12. 12 may be the number of wins you need, definitely 11. Right now you got Washington, the Commanders, or the Commies, some people call them, and the Green Bay Packers are both at 7-4, 7-3 respectively. The Vikings sitting at 8-2. The problem is there's a couple of bad divisions, so the division winners get in with bad records, but then everybody else, like the NFC North division, has three teams with really good records. So right now, 7 wins, 7-4, get you into the playoffs. 5-5, Matthew Stafford and the Rams, they're on the outside looking in. I think we're still at about the same number of teams as we had last week as far as teams that have been eliminated. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. There's about 12 of the 30 teams that are out. It's hard to imagine Joe Burrow and the Bengals being out of the playoffs. They could still have a run left in them, but they got down big at halftime. They're 4-7. Lost that game last night. And Aaron Rodgers and the Jets, 3-8. Aaron Rodgers is saying he's going to come back. He hasn't ruled out coming back next year. The rest of the teams out in the AFC that are bad are kind of expected to be kind of where they are. In the NFC, the Giants, Panthers, we expected them. The Cowboys, we thought we were going to get more out of them, but they're done. They're 3-6. I think they're played tonight, don't they? Saints are done at 4-7. The Bears, I'm not going to count out the Bears and the Bucks at 4-6, but already you're in that position where you need help with 7 games to go, and that's never a good spot to be. Monday, the 18th day of November, inching our way closer to that traditional 9-day gun deer season. The Deer Hunters Roundup kicks off on Saturday night. If you're in the Northwoods and you're focused on deer hunting, you're ready for it, tell you what, Bader Sports Center, that'll scratch an itch for you because they have a great sale going on now through Thursday. So stop on in right next to Pick and Save on Highway 13 in Phillips. BaderSportsCenter.com. You can go to their Facebook page also, and they have a lot of in-store sales going on right at this very moment. I'm on their website right now. Very cool website, and they have got tons of savings that you'll want to check out in-store right there, Highway 13 in Phillips, Bader Sports Center. My wife and I last week, post-election, my wife and I decided we needed to turn it off. We needed to turn off the news. We needed to turn off everything that was involved with that whole political process. So we started watching the old Bob Barker Price is Right shows on Pluto. And that's kind of our go-to when we need to just kind of get away from it. And I noticed something that was very disappointing to me when I watched the old Price is Right shows. Don't get me wrong. They're wonderful. Great memories. Anytime you can watch a show and they're giving away a Gremlin or a Chevy Chevette, that's always a great show. But I did notice that the Price is Right back in that day was there were some prizes on there that were that really made you scratch your head. They really did. Well, Sailboat was number one. Most of the prizes they gave away in The Price is Right were assuming that the people there were living in California. And a lot of them did live, I guess, out west in California. Not too many people were traveling across the country back in the 80s. Some were, but it was predominantly meant for California West Coast people. They gave away sailboats. That was one, which when you have a two-bedroom apartment, what are you going to do? You're going to sell it, right? Well, you could sell it now very easily, but back then, you put it in the want ads. I don't know. What do you do back then? Another one, hot dog stand. They had a run of several shows on The Price is Right where one of the prizes you would receive if you had The Price Right was a hot dog stand. And I was, it's just, it doesn't seem right to give away a job. Oh, by the way, here, you want a hot dog stand. Now get to work. I don't know. What do you do with a hot dog stand? They did that several episodes in a row. And another one, too, was the, what was the other one that made me scratch my head a little bit? Well, there's tickets to all the LA professional sports games, the Lakers, the Kings, the Dodgers, and whatever else. And even if you live there, who would want? That's a lot of responsibility in those tickets. So The Price is Right back then was meant for the West Coast people, I guess, understandably so. And don't even get me started on the Wheel of Fortune. I know we'll save that for tomorrow. Okay, we'll save that for tomorrow. The Wheel of Fortune, please. And it has nothing to do with Pat Sajak being gone. It has to do with some. I'm all worked up about the wheel. We'll talk tomorrow. I can't get into it right now. We don't have the time. Mike McKay is standing by. He's going to be in after 2. Gray will be in after. He'll be in until 2. Gray will be in after 2 until 7. We're debuting high school sports tomorrow. Shawamigan at Mercer Girls Hoops. We'll do that tomorrow night.